Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. This program is on the air live right now to discuss any personal issue or situation you may find yourself in and to answer your Bible questions. This is Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. What's going on in your life? Let's talk it through and see if we can help. You can get through right now at 1-800-677-9377. Write down the toll-free number. Don't wait. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. To Bob and Richard and to everyone listening, happy Wednesday. It's the eve of Independence Day.
Well, that's you're exactly right, Bob, and it's exciting that we are able to celebrate such a wonderful reality, and that's our freedom as U.S. citizens.
Yeah.
I love what our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, all state, and how, you know, freedom is front and center in all of those things. Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom and right to bear arms, all of those things are significant to enable us to experience freedom as citizens of this country. But as I've always said, I feel like those freedoms are simply a shadow of the real freedom that we can experience in Christ, a freedom that transcends every other, and a freedom that once we have, no one, I mean absolutely no one, can take away from us.
Right.
And that's the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, a freedom from the power of sin, the punishment of sin, the penalty of sin, and the freedom to experience new life in Jesus Christ. You know what Paul said in Romans 7, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do anyway. That's bondage.
Yeah.
That is just absolute bondage. But this grace of God that has been given to us in Christ Jesus, who in fact is Christ Jesus. Grace isn't a thing. Grace is a person. Jesus sets us free from that so that we can actually live out the things that we truly desire to do as far as God is concerned. And that's a marvelous freedom that we have in Christ. So that's what we're talking about on today's broadcast and much of this month. So join in and tell us how you've experienced freedom in Christ, the things that you would like to be set free from. The Word of God has an answer, and it has a way of escape. It has a rescue plan in place to rescue you out of that bondage and place you into freedom. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. We would love to hear from you as quickly as possible on today's broadcast.
Yes, indeed. Let's go quickly to New Jersey and talk to Walter, who listens on WMCA. Hi, Walter. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air, finally.
Well, hey, Walter, thanks for your patience, my friend.
There's no other way to live in Christ, but be patient and wait on Him, that's for sure. Pastor, I want to thank you for taking my call. This has been a perennial question for me for the last 25, 30 years. And so you can imagine I've been wrangling with this for all that time, and I've heard both sides of the story. One, that covenantally, you know, we're under grace now that Christ came and to set us free, free to serve Him and be obedient to Him. In lieu of that, I've been in a little bit of bondage here regarding tithing, because I hear on the other side of the school of thought that Malachi 3 says that we ought to be obedient to a word of tithe, and with that comes a promise. I keep hearing that again and again and again, you know? So I'd like to hear what you have to say about this.
Well, I think, Walter, the big question is this: which covenant are you in? Are you in the Old Covenant or in the New Covenant? The Old Covenant was a covenant between God and the people of Israel. The Old Covenant had the Ten Commandments. It had ceremonial laws. It had the Levitical priesthood. It had a religious system in place to fund and support the Levitical priesthood and the religious system. Tithing was an obligation for the people of Israel. They were to bring their tithes to the storehouse. And those tithes consisted of food substances, agricultural things. They would bring those, and the priest would use those for sacrifices. The priest would use those, as their supply of food. That's how they were taken care of. Well, all that changed at the cross. Jesus Christ brought that old covenant to a completion, fulfilled every aspect of it, ended it with his death, and then he ushered in a new covenant. And it's this new covenant that we live in today as believers in Christ. And in this new covenant, Paul says that we are to excel in the grace of giving. He doesn't call it tithing. He never talks about a percentage. He never talks about any of those things. He simply says, I encourage you to excel in the grace of giving. In other words, allow your hearts to respond to the work of God's grace in your heart and give accordingly. That could be 10%. It could be 20%. It could be 50%. It could be 8%. You know, when you calculate the numbers. But what it says is don't worry so much about that. Simply give according to what you have, not what you don't have. Give cheerfully, give joyfully, give to meet the needs of the body of Christ, give to support the proclamation of the Word of God. And in the giving, you're going to receive the blessing. You're not giving to get, just the sheer act of giving is joyful. When you're motivated by the grace of God. Anytime that you say, oh, this has to be an obligation, when you start feeling guilty if you don't give, or if you've given too little, or, you know, start to wonder if you're going to get a raise next week because, you know, you didn't tithe, you're seeing it from the wrong perspective. So you have to realize you're in the new covenant. You're a new covenant believer. Let the grace of God motivate you as far as how you give, how you steward the money and resources that God has placed in your hands.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for that. It almost brought me to tears because I want to be obedient in every way. I want to be told when I'm gone from this earth, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to do anything contrary to his word, so I want to thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And let me put you on hold. We have a resource on this, on New Covenant Giving. And let me put that in your hands, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Walter.
You are welcome. Thanks for your call. Thanks for tuning into the broadcast. And any way that we can help and serve you, you let us know, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Walter. Hold the line. Bob, we're going to go to Brazoria, Texas, and talk to Shirley, listening on KCTA. Hi, Shirley. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello.
Hi, Shirley.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
How can we help you today?
Well, I've been battling cancer for 12 years, and I've had breast cancer, both ovaries, a lung cancer, which the Lord, through the doctors and all the chemo and everything, has graciously healed me. And I was doing real good, and then I got a tumor in my pancreas, and there really isn't any kind of medical thing they can do about it. And for some reason, I'm not afraid to die because I'm born-again Christian, and I know I'm going to heaven, but I've been real afraid of this particular problem, and I'd like to know why I'm afraid of it and not the others. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you've been through a lot, and bless your heart for that. And you've seen God's faithfulness through this, through thick and thin. And you can hear just the confidence you have in the Lord and what your future destiny is.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, Shirley, that is so encouraging to me, and I'm sure to our listeners as well. So thanks for sharing just being you. As far as the fear of this, I don't know. How are you seeing it when they tell you
I'm having to stand for the first time with all these cancers. I've had a lot of medical help. But at this time, there's nothing anyone can do. and this is when I'm having to stand on, by his stripes I am healed.
Yes.
I have to stand on that word, and that alone, his grace. I can't
right.
count on any doctors, any medicine, any treatment.
Well, and that's
which I
exactly.
I count on with the others, understand? I have a lot of help, a lot of prayer.
Right.
But this one, I really need a lot of prayer to stand.
Well, you just offer up those prayers to God, and I'm sure our listenership and listening to you will be praying for you as well. You know, the fear, it could relate to, you know, what you might perceive is going to be happening to your body, the pain or whatever
yeah,
that journey kind of looks like.
Yeah.
And that's where, and it's difficult. I mean, I'm not saying that this is an easy thing to do. This is where we need to come back and say, okay, what is today like? And I'm going to thank God for what today is like.
Yes.
And whenever you project out into the future and start painting a really dark, bleak picture of what's up ahead for you, your emotions are going to respond. And that fear is going to be right there with you. And you are going to be scared of what that is. And
yes.
So you just have to say, Lord, that's in the future. Right now, today, I feel okay. I know you love me. I know you care for me. And I'm going to thank you for that right now, right today. And let that be enough.
That's good.
Then tomorrow, I'm going to do the same thing.
Amen.
I just have that moment right there. And I think if you can bring your mind to that point of just seeing just what's right in front of your face, instead of projecting out in the future, I think you're going to be able to experience God's presence in a way that you've never experienced before.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful. It is wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, Shirley, thank you for calling, and thanks for sharing, you know, what you're going through. And I know that's so difficult, but you've seen the faithfulness of God through this journey in ways that many of us have never been able to experience. So thank the Lord for that.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
And you too. Let us put you on hold, and we'll send you this resource we're offering this month just as our way of blessing you, okay?
Yes, indeed. Shirley, thank you for your call. Bob, we have a full board of calls, but I want to remind our listeners that this new resource you're talking about is a 6-message series complete with study guide. It's called Gateway to Grace, and it peels away all the phony stuff about religion. And if you would like to get a copy of it, it's yours for any amount, a gift of any amount during the month of July. Just go online to basicgospel.net to order yours. That's basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace, yours this month for a gift of any amount. Sacramento, California, let's talk to Martin, listening on KCBC. Hi, Martin. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Oh, hello, and I hope you're having a good day. My question today is I just was going through the book of Genesis, and they talk about the plagues. And I was just wondering if there's any documentation other than in the Bible where it talks about these things happening in Egypt there.
Yeah, there in the book of Exodus, really, as Moses is going to Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go." Richard, do you have any input on that?
Not specifically, although I do know that the practice of the pharaohs was to, especially when there was a change in dynasty, or when a pharaoh suffered a great loss in battle, or like the children of Israel being taken out of the country, the tendency was for them to erase all the records, to break down the you know, whatever pillars they'd erected and all the cuneiform writing on them and all of that. And they never wanted to have any bad news broadcast. So I'm not sure if anything still exists, if they found anything in the archaeological record to reference that. but I do know they tend to erase that stuff. So we could do some searching, and why don't you send me an email at our ministry address, and I'll do some looking for you and see what I can come up with.
Okay. And then I just had one other quick question. When they started writing the Bible, I believe a lot of it was written in Hebrew or Greek. I'm not quite sure. When did it start getting translated into English? Was that like in the 12th century, or I mean, 1200s when they did the Christian Crusades?
Well, I think it might have been a little bit later than that. You know, it was written in Hebrew, the Old Testament. Some of the New Testament was Greek, Aramaic. Then it was translated into Latin. There was the Latin Vulgate. I think from there it started being translated into other languages. You know, Martin Luther translated it into German. And then there were some other folks. Tyndale, for example, translated it into English. And then, of course, the famous King James Version, I think 1511, is that correct, Richard?
I believe so.
When that hit, but there was probably 100 years or so before that that other English translations started to surface. And so that's that really coincided with the British Empire, you know, coming to power.
Right.
So it's been 600 years that English translations have been in existence. But other translations, you know, into other languages were there as well.
Martin, thank you for your call. We got other callers on the line, so we need to move along, but we appreciate hearing from you. Hope you keep listening and call again. Rhode Island, let's talk to Debbie, listening on WARV. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Certainly, Debbie. Nice to hear from you.
My question, a little background is I'm 15 years in the Lord, and I've done a lot of growing over the years. And, of course, as soon as I thought I'm grown up, I realized I have many areas of my life that still I have to grow up in. Now, I'm engaged to a man who's 4 years old in the Lord, and he shows a lot of great promise, but he still has a lot of bondage to, characteristics that he's acquired from a dysfunctional family, especially his father with anger issues, and his lack of responsibility in taking accountability for his actions. I believe that he really doesn't, when he confesses them or says he's sorry for things, I don't feel like he's sincere, and he almost feels like I deserve to be spoken to or reacted to, and it's scary. It hurts. So he's not taking accountability for a lot of his actions and words and irrational behavior, which hurts, because I love him, and I've accepted to marry him before this all became apparent. And I continue to pray for him. And as I do, the Lord continues to show me areas of my life that need to be refined. So who am I to hold it against him?
But you haven't married him yet, is that correct? Okay. Well, what you're seeing there is, you know, some red flags are being raised. And you're starting to wonder if this is the right person to marry or not because of these particular issues. And what I encourage people to do in all premarital counseling that I've ever done, if you have red flags, if you sense red flags, if there's cautionary things that are coming up, surfacing, heed those. Don't just ignore them. Don't sweep them under a carpet. Deal with them in a way that's going to either move you closer to him and say, hey, this is going to work out, it's going to be great, or if you see that this is going to be a persistent problem, then you can say, hey, I'm scared to move forward. I don't want to move forward until I see some change in this regard. It's vitally important. Don't walk away from those red flags.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying there?
Yes. Whenever I bring it to his attention, certain actions or words that he's said or things that he's done, outbursts of anger, which are really scary to me, he becomes very, very defensive and turns it around, and now it's all my fault. I ruined the weekend. And so it's hard for me to communicate my concerns to him.
Well, if it's hard to communicate your concerns to him, if it's hard to have a conversation, you really don't have a relationship there. And, you know, the anger thing, that is just symptomatic of something that's going on underneath. Anger usually is a secondary response to fear. So there's something that's going on inside of him that he's really frightened over. And so, you know, to me, that is a red flag or a big enough red flag to say, I'm stopping right here. I'm not going to take another step forward until this gets rectified. I know that may sound harsh or just kind of black and white, but I've seen it too many times where folks have not heeded those red flags and they have gotten themselves into a mess and they didn't know how to get out of it. Yeah. And if you're seeing this up front, consider that a blessing. Consider that God's grace opening up your eyes to something and his protection over you.
Well, thank you. I keep waiting for a miracle, but it's been about, you know, 3.5 years since I've seen that first red flag, and I'm just sad. I'm sad that he's not submitting to God and taking accountability for his bad behavior.
But your stand, if you make a stand in this situation, it may be exactly what he needs to get the help that he desperately needs at this point. So don't be afraid of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for
your
call.
Let me thank you for those encouraging words to take a stand. I know God will be there for me, and I know that he can also work on my fiance and in his time, not mine.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate hearing from you, and you keep us posted, okay?
Yes, indeed. Abilene, Texas. Let's talk to Emily very quickly, listening in Abilene, Texas. Hi, Emily. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, thank you. My question is about homosexuality. I work and have worked with a lot of homosexuals, and they know that I am a believer, and they tend to talk to me about their relationships and sometimes their love life in a sexual way, and I don't know what I should do. I mean, how should I handle it without making,
Well, I think if you're uncomfortable in a situation like that, I think you simply say, I'm uncomfortable in a situation like in hearing that kind of conversation. I was in a situation like that years ago when I worked in a hospital, and boy, the nursing staff, they just openly talked about their sexual relationships, and boy, I just turned beet red and finally had to say, I just don't feel comfortable with this, and that changed things. And so don't feel, worried about that. Just say, hey, I don't feel comfortable with hearing this kind of stuff. If you could keep it to yourselves, I would greatly appreciate it.
Well, Emily, we're out of time. We hope this helps. Hope you keep listening and call again if we can help in the future. Friends, your support is what keeps Basic Gospel on the air, bringing the liberating truth to the airwaves and online each day. And to express our appreciation for your generous gift this month and to commemorate Independence Day in America, we'll send you this new 6-CD series called Gateway to Grace. You can experience freedom, and you can do so right now. Gateway to Grace can point you in the right direction. It's yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Simply request yours online when you visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 to make your gift and request your Gateway to Grace series. 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for an Independence Day special edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.